The story of Dior is that of Christian Dior. It is also the story of his successors. In their time, their moment, their Dior age. Episode 2, The Dior Age of Marc Bohan.
Marc Bohan, you are replacing Yves Mathieu Saint Laurent as head designer at Christian Dior for the duration of his military service.
Thus began Marc Bohan's very first interview for the television news. The date was September the 28th, 1960, and he had just arrived at Dior. Everything has moved very quickly since Yves Saint Laurent was called up on September the 1st. Nobody had believed it would happen, least of all him, but reality caught up with him. And suddenly, he found himself recruited into a military service that might last up to 30 months, especially now with the Algerian War underway. Feeling distraught and abandoned, he was prone to fits of rage and ended up being committed to the Val de Grâce military hospital. But if there was no longer a designer, then how could there still be a House of Dior? Facing media pressure, Marcel Boussec, the owner of Dior, was forced to find a temporary replacement. He chose Marc Bohan. Marc Bohan has something in common with Yves Saint Laurent. He was also personally hired by Monsieur Dior. Their meeting took place in April 1957 in the couturier's home on Boulevard Jules Sandeau.
I was horribly intimidated, paralyzed. I didn't say much. And my interview ended like that. Then he very politely walked me out.
But Christian Dior was careful not to reveal his thoughts, for he was nonetheless intrigued and even somewhat touched by the encounter. That had happened when the young Bohan told him about Robert Piguet, to whom they had both been assistants. And also when he told him about his father, who had envisaged a future for him in banking or the civil service, but most certainly not in a couture house. Monsieur Dior thought of his own similar situation, when his parents had refused to indulge his dreams of being an architect, forcing him to do his studies at Sciences Po instead. Christian Dior was immediately drawn to this Marc Bohan, whom he identified as a good hire. The American subsidiary, Christian Dior New York, was in need of a talented designer, and so a contract was drawn up. Unfortunately, just before it could be signed, Monsieur Dior died, and the project was abandoned. What a shame! His desire to hire Bohan would nevertheless be fulfilled, a year later, in 1958, when a design director for the English subsidiary was required.
Christian Dior, London. First surprise, the deeply plunging back of a classic evening dress modelled by Barbara.
Then, 2 years later, he was catapulted to 30 Avenue Montaigne, the house's beating heart, nicknamed The Hive.
I was not used to such a large team. There were, I believe, a dozen ateliers, and they were very full, about 30 workers in each, so it was all quite impressive.
Marc Bohan didn't really have time to familiarize himself with everyone. He had to start sketching straight away. And so he tirelessly began designing his first haute couture collection for Dior, set to be presented in January.
The slim look is the new Christian Dior line designed by Marc Bohan for the spring of 61.
Slim is a synonym for svelte, and the slim look was indeed a slimmer, more supple and youthful silhouette. His very own new look, the now look. And while it might have been less spectacular than the fashions of Christian Dior that preceded it, this new fashion, launched by Marc Bohan, caused a shockwave.
I didn't want to hear about canvassing, stiffening and such things. I just wanted everything to be impeccable, to hang very well. It was primarily about making dresses that women enjoyed wearing. They were tired of being corseted in very tight jackets and very rigid skirts and all that. That was over. We were no longer in 47. We were in 1960.
In the 1960s, arguably the most glorious years of the three-decade post-war period, a new type of individual emerged. The young. The baby boomers had grown up, and their purchasing power had grown with them. Now they were going out and spending. Youth, took precedence over wealth, as the immaculately turned-out woman was replaced by the ready-to-wear girl. Haute couture recoiled in horror at the miniskirt. Gabrielle Chanel fumed. Over at Dior, Marc Bohan was treading warily. Skirts flared out and stopped just below the knee, but for how much longer? The couture house seemed ready for ready-to-wear. It would be called Miss Dior.
Dior? Miss Dior.
The Miss at Dior was like the women of her time, her new wardrobe reflecting their new state of mind. Trousers had become the symbol of their emancipation. Are you for or against trousers for women?
We're all for it.
Why?
I don't see why not.
Increasingly, unisex fashion was jolting traditional morals. The winds of revolution were blowing through France. Freedom should prevail over authority. It is forbidden to forbid. May 68 had arrived.
After a number of other cities as different as Rome, West Berlin and Warsaw, student unrest has now reached Paris.
Fashion is a reflection of society, and we are not going against the current. I have known several generations, and I can say that while I dressed the mothers, I did not automatically have the daughters, and even less the granddaughters. It's a new way of living. It started from 75. What's more, there are a lot fewer wedding dresses being made in couture houses.
Haute couture was in bad shape, but Bohan held strong. His consistency and tenacity enabled him to inspire confidence in the House of Dior, particularly so when the business was struggling. Marcel Boussac, the owner of Dior, suffered a reversal of fortune. A litany of strategic errors in a world in profound change since the 1960s would get the better of the cash flow of a man who had previously been the richest in France, the insightful investor who backed Christian Dior's creative ambitions. And now he was filing for bankruptcy.
It's the end of an empire. The slow, agonizing decline of Groupe Boussac is both harrowing, if we place ourselves on the side of the workers, who fear for their jobs and for the survival of their factories, and moving, if we look through the eyes of Marcel Boussac, 89 years old, who is watching his fortune, his life, his entire career fall to pieces.
Poor Monsieur Boussac, who, as if that were not already enough, saw his group bought in 1978 by his sworn enemies, the Huillot. Four brothers from a family of industrialists from Roubaix in northern France. Then it was the Huillot's turn to give up. And so the Boussac Empire was once again searching for a buyer. After several unexpected developments, Bernard Arnault and his real estate group Ferinel captured the prize. In January 85, he became CEO of Boussac. And from the outset, he identified the full potential of Christian Dior, which he would make the cornerstone of his future empire. Haute couture captivated him and would prove greatly beneficial to him.
La haute couture, c'est l'image.
Haute couture is the image, in fact. In Monsieur Dior's time, haute couture was sold very widely, but essentially in Europe. Today, haute couture represents a very low share of turnover, but has a significantly impactful image that enables the designer, that enables Marc Bohan, to establish trends for all our creations. But with haute couture, we're not talking about profitability. Haute couture means legitimacy. It underpins the whole house.
The new look represents the foundations of Dior. In 1987, it was 40 years old and being celebrated in a major retrospective at the Musée des Arts Décoratifs in Paris. It provided an opportunity to spotlight Christian Dior's key lines, with which, on closer inspection, Marc Bohan had never particularly aligned himself. His golden rule was consistency and classicism. And it took consistency to carry fashion from the 60s through to the 80s.
After 25 years, I do Bohan, but in a Dior spirit. Because there is a Dior spirit, it has to stay.
But was Dior by Marc Bohan now still Dior? What was the Dior identity, now that the new look was 40? From that point on, it was ready to wear, not haute couture, that set the tone. Bernard Arnault was aware of that reality, and desiring to make Dior a global player, he needed a new creative power. He needed more than just a designer. He required a new profile, a creative director, an internationally renowned name with the capabilities of a great couturier, an expert in the handmade with a deep knowledge of the work of Christian Dior and a natural appreciation for his volumes. It was time to start interviewing. As the 1980s drew to a close, so too did the Bohan years.
This podcast was brought to you by Maison Dior. Discover the world the house encompasses, from haute couture collections to perfumes, by subscribing to the Dior podcasts, available on all audio streaming platforms.